So you guys want to feel better about yourself today? Then check out 9GAG. 9GAG is a website that is really about one thing, and that's making people happier, making the world happier. They're a global cross-platform entertainment network with 150 million in audience around the world. They're ranked number one in entertainment and gaming on social media globally, and number one in cross-platform video creation in the United States. So guys, check them out. It's really awesome. They have all of these different categories from cars to comedy to football, Fortnite, gaming, GIFs, everything that you can think of, whether you are a man, a woman, something in between. It doesn't matter. This website will make you feel better about yourself. And of course, it is family friendly. It does not have any offensive or demeaning content. It is really one of the better websites that I've seen in quite a while that delivers on what they promise. And that is to make people happier. And that's exactly what this site does. There's also an app on the App Store for Apple or Google. So check them out there at 9GAG. So go to the Apple iTunes Store, the App Store or Google Play Store and search 9GAG. That's the number 9 and then GAG, G-A-G. Or go to the website, 9GAG.com. That's 9, the number 9, GAG.com. Trust me, within a minute of being there, you'll feel better about yourself, better about your day. It's a great way to disconnect from your work, and you will not regret it. So check out 9GAG.com.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era. To the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead. But the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me. It is Sunday, June 2nd. 2019. Welcome to the show. This is the nostalgia portion of the show. And today, as you may have guessed by the title, we're going to be discussing the top five moments of the Attitude Era. Obviously a very, very subjective subject, but one in which I think many of you can relate. It's viewed as by many as one of the greatest eras in professional wrestling history. And I know personally, I have a lot of memories from that time. It was the era that grabbed me as a young teen into my late teens, 20s, and now into my 30s now. So I continue to go back and look at YouTube and relive those moments because while not all amazing and great as we all like to look back on, it had some of the most historic, game-changing moments in history. It was an all-star lineup, and there's so much to get to. So a very, very subjective, of course, top five list. But I'm going to get to it in just a couple of minutes. But first, I want to, again, thank you, everybody, for those of you who are interested or were interested in becoming co-hosts of the show. I know everybody did not get selected, and that's not the fun part of this. But I thank everybody who's ever been on this show. I've never disliked a single co-host that I've had ever, and I really mean that. I haven't. And the choice to select three out of, I don't even know how many we had, probably upwards of 15 to 20 on top of the people who have never been on the show and people who have and just never asked and didn't officially ask to be a co-host and all of that. I've never really disliked anybody who was on this show. I think we all had good chemistry. It's always fun when you have somebody who has a passion that is equal to yours. And so I thank everybody. As far as the three new co-hosts, what's going to happen is there's going to be a rotating schedule of those three co-hosts. Every Thursday, I will be bringing that person on. And every third week, they'll be on again. So if you like them, great. Hopefully most of you do, because you're going to be hearing a lot of them, a lot of me. I figured that it was not in the best interest of the show to just have a single co-host. I mean, at least at this time, I think that it is better to diversify and give you guys a little bit more of a different voice every week rather than just myself or myself and one other person. It may eventually morph into that. I've had people comment and ask me and DM me, hey, I would like you to just select one person. And I hear you. I get it. However, the majority have spoken. The majority of the people who have listened to the show did want a rotating cast. And that is what's going to take place. So I tweeted out the people who are going to be doing this with me, and that is Ashley, Mary, and Anthony. So you guys were the lucky three, and I thank you very much. It was, again, not a decision just made by myself. So it was a decision made by people who emailed me with their input, DM me, really just all forms of social media. I got a lot of input on who they liked and who they wanted to bring on the show in a permanent way. So thank you, everybody who was interested. It was not easy, but I think that ultimately this show is going to be better for it. And for those of you who like my solo shows, as is the case today, I know I said I was going to bring a guest on, but man, I was traveling all day. I've been in the car for 6 hours today, and I didn't. It was a family function, and I was still trying to figure out who and tally all the final votes, if you will, and let the people know that they were going to be selected to become co-hosts of the show, and getting that schedule set up. The calendar will be going out to them, all that kind of stuff. So this is a solo show, but Sundays will be my solo shows. So those of you who like my just me shows, you get just me on Sundays. So no worries. I'm trying to appease the majority rather than just picking one thing and hoping everybody likes it. I'm trying to do multiple things here, and hopefully I don't get my plate too full. But one more thing on the housekeeping front is my website. It's going to be taking a little bit longer than expected, probably another couple of weeks. So out of my hands, the only thing that left my hands for this was money to get it done. And that is going to be happening in the next couple of weeks. But hey, if it takes longer and it's done right and it's awesome, I don't care. So I know it was supposed to be originally done this week, but no worries. It'll be done in the next couple of weeks. Minor delay, but I think it's going to be all worth it once we get to the finished product. So it's going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to that total revamp because it's about time I get a website that's worth looking at. It's been a little bit embarrassing for a while, but it's also not cheap, and I don't understand code that well. I'm not a coder. I can design, but I don't know, like, you know, the if-then statements and the parentheses and all of that computer language. I really don't. I mean, that's not me. So I contracted that one out, and it should be up and running in the next few weeks. All right, so let's just get right to it. Let's get to it, and that is the number 5 moment of the Attitude Era, and that was The Rock and Mankind. Rock, this is your life. This happened on September 27th, 1999, and is still the highest rated segment of any professional wrestling broadcast ever. It was a absolute slam dunk. It was hilarious. It was super long, but awesome. It was so unique. It brought out something in The Rock that I don't think he had shown the audience at that time. Reluctantly with Mankind, at least Mankind was kind of the younger brother that was tagging along. At least that was the way it was kind of portrayed on TV, that it was that younger brother, the younger annoying brother that was looking up to the older brother, and that older brother is just kind of like, you know, originally a little bit resistant to bring him aboard. And then the younger brother slowly breaks the walls down, and tries to appease him with affection and with you know, pulling at his heartstrings. And that's what Mankind attempted to do.
The Rock's fans, you want to serve The Rock a great big piece of that poontang pie? Oh.
I don't know. Whatever it was, I'm sure she'd be willing to serve it to me. Piping hot. Homemade.
That's no secret. The Rock, he loves pie, but The Rock just has one thing to say to you. Poontang your ass on out of here.
So that brought back some great memories as I replay some of that audio. Man, I remember watching that live. And again, this was one of those deals where, you're watching it and it's not the wrestling part of it. You know, the piece of the wrestling, professional wrestling of 2019 that I always miss is the wrestling. Well, when the entertainment part of professional wrestling is done right, it's done really well. And this is one of those moments that you can't recreate. They tried to recreate it with Mick Foley, This Is Your Life, and you can't ever recapture that magic from that night. And I think the segment went on like 30 minutes, and it was just so funny. Mankind and The Rock just had a chemistry that you can't create in a boardroom. You can't just put on paper. You can't wish it to happen. It just happens. And obviously, I mean, The Rock had his former girlfriend, which he just spoke to. He had his former coach, his former grade school teacher. I mean, it just went on, and everything was just done so well. And I see, I can absolutely see why this was one of the highest rated segments of the Attitude Era in professional wrestling ever. So great segment, and that's my number five. Number four is a moment that I spent an entire segment talking about a month or 2 months ago, probably, in my wrestling nostalgia segment. And that is Mankind winning his first WWF championship against The Rock. And I'm not going to go crazy over this one because you guys can go listen to that show. Like I said, it was probably a couple months ago. What I will say about this is that was the single loudest pop I've ever heard in my entire life for Stone Cold when he returned. Again, he was away from WWF at the time for a number of weeks. And at that time, that felt like an eternity for the hottest superstar in wrestling to take a leave of absence. And nobody expected him to show up. And he interfered on behalf of Mankind, sticking it to Vince McMahon and his corporate cronies, if you will, and ended up hitting The Rock in the head with a chair, the loudest pop you've ever heard. If you haven't heard it, you got to go to YouTube. If I play it right now, it's not going to do it justice. But what it meant was, not only was it an awesome moment, one that made me come out of my seat as a 13, 14-year-old boy, really, at that point, but it also was the moment, the shifting, the moment that the entire Monday Night Wars shifted. It was a turning point. It was the crossroads. It was that threshold that made 600,000 viewers change from Monday Nitro to Monday Night Raw, because Monday Nitro ended up inadvertently sending their audience there by saying that Mankind's going to win the WWF Championship tonight. That'll put some butts in seats. I mean, we've heard this before. You guys know the story, but it is such a huge moment in the Attitude Era and in professional wrestling in general. And just, I mean, the entire industry was changed that night. And it was, again, that was, you talk about pops, you talk about big reactions. Look at that reaction and then compare it to any reaction that you have heard in the last 10 years in WWE. Try. I dare you. 15 years. Somebody give me a comparable reaction to that night when Stone Cold Steve Austin ended up aiding Mick Foley and defeating The Rock for his first WWF championship. Absolutely amazing. So that's my number four. We're going to take a quick break, and when I get back, it's my top three moments of the Attitude Era. Stay right here. So you guys want to feel better about yourself today? Then check out 9GAG. 9GAG is a website that is really about one thing, and that's making people happier, making the world happier. They're a global cross-platform entertainment network with 150 million in audience around the world. They're ranked number one in entertainment and gaming on social media globally, and number one in cross-platform video creation in the United States. So, guys, check them out. It's really awesome. They have all of these different categories from cars to comedy to football, Fortnite, gaming, GIFs, everything that you can think of, whether you are a man, a woman, something in between. It doesn't matter. This website will make you feel better about yourself. And, of course, it is family friendly. It does not have any offensive or demeaning content. It is really one of the better websites that I've seen in quite a while that delivers on what they promise. And that is to make people happier. And that's exactly what this site does. There's also an app on the App Store for Apple or Google. So check them out there at 9GAG. So go to the Apple iTunes Store, the App Store, or Google Play Store and search 9GAG. That's the number 9 and then GAG, G-A-G. Or go to the website, 9GAG.com. That's 9, the number 9, G-A-G.com. Trust me, within a minute of being there, you'll feel better about yourself, better about your day. It's a great way to disconnect from your work, and you will not regret it. So check out 9gag.com. All right, number 3 is the beer truck. And shamefully, this happened in my hometown. This happened in, it was then billed as, I believe it was the Pepsi Arena. Before then, it was a Knickerbocker Arena. Now it is the Times Union Center. But at the time, I think it was the Pepsi Arena. And I made every event in WWE when it came around. We were there. My wrestling friends were there. When I say wrestling friends, it's because not all of my friends were wrestling fans. Some of them did not understand, did not get it. But my wrestling friends and I would go to everything. And this is one that I shamefully missed live. I was there for HBK super kicking Vince McMahon when he came back and as the Raw commissioner after he was fired by Vince McMahon as the Raw commissioner. I was there when Hulk Hogan returned as Stephanie McMahon's bombshell on SmackDown when Hulk Hogan returned and we gave him that 20-minute ovation. I was there when Stone Cold returned to face Rikishi in No Mercy of 2000 in October. And while I didn't see a Stone Cold Stunner that night, which was very depressing, it was a hell of a beatdown on Rikishi, who was the assailant in Stone Cold being run over, a.k.a. the storyline for when they needed Austin to leave to go get neck surgery. And that is just a shameful part of my life. Just shame. And I don't know why I didn't go to this. I really honestly can't remember. I'm thinking either I was bogged down by homework at the time. I mean, you got to remember, I was probably a freshman in high school at this time. And either my parents couldn't drive me. I can't remember, but I didn't go. And I'm very sad about it. Nonetheless, I experienced it the way the majority of fans experienced it, and that was via the USA Network. And a little bit of backstory to this, if this you guys don't know, but for those of you who do or don't, rather, this was leading up to WrestleMania 15, The Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin for the very first time. And Austin had never brought in a beer truck. He brought in Zamboni. He's brought in his own pickup truck, but never a beer truck. And they try to recreate this moment several times, just as they did with the Mick Foley or Mankind, This Is Your Life. They always try to recreate things, which never ever works. But they tried. There's nothing like the original. And so Stone Cold has brought in a lot of vehicles to the arena, but brings in a Coors Light truck and sprays down the corporation. And it was beautiful to see. It was hilarious because Vince McMahon is in the middle of the ring swimming like he's in the deep end of a pool with no swimmies. It was just so well done. The audience ate it up. It was just an iconic moment. There's no other way to put it. It had never been done before. And I also remember later that night, it was the very first time that Stone Cold went one-on-one with Paul White, as he was then known, not yet the Big Show, and ended up having to hit the Big Show, what, 3 times in the head with a chair before delivering a stunner, and he gets the 3 count. And that was a match that I also remember, and I was very sad that I was not there to see. Man, what the hell was I thinking? But it was an amazing moment on Nanette Raw. And I remember, the people that were in attendance, some of my friends were saying that, they all got sprayed by beer. Could you imagine that now? Imagine that moment in 2019. Think about that. You have kids sitting in the front row who are with their parents in this ultra-sensitive snowflake society that we're in 2019. And you have somebody come out with beer, spray his opponent in the ring, but also you have the audience who are collateral damage getting sprayed by beer as well. Can you imagine the uproar? Oh my God, my five-year-old got sprayed in the face with beer. Just imagine this, all of the complaints, how inappropriate that is, presenting alcohol as a weapon. Oh my God, just imagine that. Just, it's such a telling tale, a sign of the times that we're in. And it's not that long ago. While 98 seems like an eternity ago, it's 21 years. 21 years. That may sound like a long time, but this feels like it was just a couple of years ago. I mean, really. And how different society is, how different the WWE is. So some of these moments would never exist today. But before we move on, I want to give everybody a little bit of a taste, a reminder of that moment so we can all kind of relive it together.
You drive it right back to Jabroni Drive and you check your candy.
Wait a minute! That man's no call!
Nothing like the good times, right? Nothing like the good times. You just get right into it, man. You just get right into it. You get lost. That's called getting lost in time. All right. Let's move on to number two. And number two has to be Mick Foley falling off the cell in 98. Not a topic that it's not beat to death. I understand that. This is the topic that everybody has killed, buried, resurrected, killed again. And it is now the undead, if you will. And I understand that, but this is a moment that you can't ignore because it was so monumental at the time to have Mick Foley do what he did. The danger he put himself in. The visual. The aftermath of what that meant to WWE. All of it. And, well, without me describing it, let me give you a little bit of audio.
Don't get him over here where we are. What's going to happen here? Undertaker fighting back. He's fighting back. They're out of bullets, folks. And I don't like a damn bit.
Oh, my God.
Now, how can I give you guys audio without the most famous call of the Attitude Era? One of the biggest memes ever produced from Jim Ross's voice of, good God Almighty, they've killed him. As God is my witness, he's broken in half. Amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, seeing that, and actually, to be honest with you, I believe that when I did see this first, it wasn't live. And the reason it wasn't live is because I used to watch Scramble Vision. I wasn't able to order every pay-per-view because it was like $30-$40. And my parents were saying, oh, you don't need to watch that crap, all that. I had to deal with that. So I could get a very scrambled version of it in my room that, the picture kind of comes in and out. And it's a little bit scrambled. You can see what was going on. But the audio was perfect. The audio was crystal clear. And I got the audio of Jim Ross's call. And it was just, you could hear the concern in his voice, the genuine concern in his voice for what we were seeing and what they were seeing and hearing, and the crowd, you hear them scream before he hits. And obviously that wasn't the end of it. He goes through the top of the cell. The chair hits him in the tooth, knocks his tooth through his nose, then the thumbtacks, all of it. I mean, the impacts of this, it went beyond what WWE had ever done before. Yes, there was ECW, of course. But ECW was generally viewed as just kind of violence for violence sake, right? Obviously, there's more to it than that for those of us that watched it and understood the product as an alternative to WCW and WWE. But this event that happened in WWE was unprecedented. And it wasn't just violence for violence sake. It was taking it to a level that, number one, WWE had never seen. And to that extent, neither had ECW. Yeah, there were thumbtacks in ECW. Yeah, there were barbed wire. There was barbed wire. There was flaming tables. There was people jumping off of the ring apron through people through tables that were on fire with thumbtacks. But the magnitude of that initial bump was nothing that I've ever seen in ECW, in any other promotion to this date, and rightfully so, because that is putting the performers at risk. Regardless of whether they want to or not, that is a huge liability for the company. But it was a bump none of us will ever forget, ever. Jim Ross is reminded of this daily. He's made a fortune off of selling t-shirts that sell that. And good for him. Good for him. But it's a moment that will live forever in the annals of WWE. It changed the game. Vince McMahon, I remember watching a documentary of Vince McMahon talking about that match and saying, you know, that Mick Foley had a twinkle in his eye that night and that he wanted to do something big. And that after Vince saw that, you know, he said, no, Mick, never again. And Mick Foley slowed down big time after that match. He may be superhuman, but he's not immortal. His body did eventually break down. Obviously, he's having tons of issues, medical issues now with walking and all that. I mean, look at the abuse he put on himself. And not just with that match, but that match probably took 10 years off his life, or 10 years off his mobility, right in a, you know, 30-minute span. Incredible stuff. Incredible stuff. And it also, it wasn't just violence for violence's sake. It was a story they were telling. That The Undertaker, you know, people often forget this. The Undertaker here was the beneficiary as well, because he was portrayed as the sick SOB that did this to Mankind, obviously, even though we all know it was, of course, checked by Mick Foley first, and really Mick's idea. But you, in WWE, use this moving forward in The Undertaker's storylines and his character development, saying, you know, look what he did to Mick. If he's willing to do that to Mick Foley, what's he going to do to Stone Cold Steve Austin, or, you know, whatever. There was a lot that they built from that, and good for Mick, good for Taker. That's what you do. So that was just a crazy moment. One that even today is, when you look at that, is just crazy to think about, that somebody would put themselves through that, and that, you know, any mortal man, normal man that's mortal, could sustain those injuries. I mean, you look at the list of injuries that he had after that match. It was a bruised kidney, separated shoulder, lost tooth, concussion. I mean, just so much. And he was able to climb back up after. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. So, all right. That's my number two. Let's get to the number one moment in the Attitude Era, as presented by me, the host of the WWE podcast.
I appreciate the fact that you and the World Wrestling Federation care. And I also appreciate the fact that, hell, you can kiss my ass.
Yes! Yes! He's nothing but the cuffs off! That cuff on Austin!
So Vince McMahon being stunned for the first time in Madison Square Garden by Stone Cold Steve Austin in 1997. That is my number one pick for the Raw moment that produced the Attitude Era's top moment for me. And I think it's with a good argument, too, because, yes, Vince McMahon was the owner of the company. But here's the kicker. No one at the time, at least in the public's eye, the vast majority of the public's eye, didn't know that Vince McMahon was the owner of the World Wrestling Federation until he made it public. So prior to this, Vince McMahon or Stone Cold Steve Austin was going on a tear, really found himself as Stone Cold. Obviously, he had King of the Ring the year earlier, and Austin 316 was born, all of that. So the foundation was laid. And he had been through the King. He stunned Jerry the King Lawler. He stunned Jim Ross. He stunned, I believe, Michael Hayes. He stunned Sergeant Slaughter. He was just anti-authority to the max. And he had yet to stun the owner, the top dog in the World Wrestling Federation and Vince McMahon. And he finally got Vince, and the crowd went crazy. It was shocking. This I did see live, and this was just when I first started to get into it, the first year in which I was watching WWF wrestling, and I was still kind of on the edge of, well, I heard this is scripted, but is it? I mean, the way Vince is acting, it looks like he broke his neck. I mean, and looking back, the interviews that Stone Cold brought to the table afterwards was saying that, you know, Vince McMahon never took the stunner twice the same way. And the first time he gave it to him, he said he looked like a fish out of water. And he kind of does. Looking back, it's funny now because Vince McMahon is laying there with his eyes open. He's shaking like his neck just got broken. And he does. He looks like a fish out of water. And Vince McMahon is the most uncoordinated guy you'll ever meet physically. At least from an in-ring perspective, he can't save his life to be coordinated. I mean, it just doesn't work for Vince McMahon. So their feud, this was the kickoff. This was the spark that led to a 2.5-year-long, 3-year-long feud almost, where it culminated at the I think it was King of the Ring when Fully Loaded. I'm sorry. Fully Loaded in a First Blood match with The Undertaker. And the stipulation was if Stone Cold wins, Vince McMahon is gone. If Vince wins, Stone Cold never again competes for the WWF Championship. Obviously, Stone Cold wins. Vince goes and you get a Stone Cold victory at the end of the whole program. Obviously, there were many, 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 many more stunners that followed that. However, that was the official close of that program. One of the biggest, if not the biggest, money-drawing program of all time. And think about that. As much as we bash Vince McMahon in 2019 for his terrible, terrible creative decisions and all of that, and, you know, he is a creative genius, or was a creative genius in the late 90s, early 2000s, up to the mid-2000s, and has he lost touch? I think he has. I don't think there's any question about that. That's not bashing. That's just fact. But during that time, think about this. Vince McMahon was not even a trained competitor, and he was able to stay with Stone Cold Steve Austin, be that anti-authority figure, or work with that anti-authority figure to be the perfect foil for Stone Cold Steve Austin, and it worked like peanut butter and jelly. It was one of those rivalries that, again, is magic. They were perfect together, just as The Rock and Austin were perfect together. And it was just a moment that sparked the entire program. And I'll never forget it. Was that the best stunner Vince ever took? No. Was that the most memorable? Maybe, because it was the first. It's like having your first kiss. Even if you don't like it, you never forget it. And I'd like to forget mine. I don't know about you. Anybody else raise their hand out there? Forget their first kiss. Mine was actually, here's way off topic, because I know you guys care, is my first kiss was actually a truth or dare. How about that? It was a truth or dare at my cousin's house at some family party for a girl I didn't even like. And it was on a truth or dare, and it was just like, it wasn't even, there's no tongue on it. It was just a peck. And I was just, you know, I was 13, probably 12, 13, I don't even know. And I was like, oh my God, I had my first kiss. And I was all in, like, you know, La La Land. It was ridiculous. I mean, you look back at this stuff, man. It's just crazy nonsense. It's craziness. Maybe I'll do like a spin-off show on my life. That one, I will tell you, will not be family-friendly and will not be PG. Maybe I'll do a spin-off of, like, you know, I don't even know what, because it could raise a lot of eyebrows and ruffle a lot of feathers if I share some stories of my life. But anyway, I get off topic really quickly. So that's what I had for you guys today in terms of wrestling. And in terms of the current product, guys, The Undertaker returns to Monday Night Raw this week to inevitably give a quick promo and build to the Goldberg match he has at Super Showdown this Friday. Don't forget, Friday is the pay-per-view date in Saudi Arabia. Contrary to what WWE is not providing you or not telling you, it is in Saudi Arabia. I can promise you that. So Undertaker is going to be returning to Monday Night Raw. Consequently, or conversely, I should say. I can't get my words right tonight. I am so tired today. So I apologize, guys. But Goldberg will be on the next broadcast of SmackDown Live. So I would assume that both guys will probably show up to the other show, or maybe they'll just cut two promos separately, because there is no need for physicality in this program right now. They should just cut good promos, have the production team put together some kind of video package, and call it a day. I don't think this match needs a ton of hype. It doesn't warrant a ton of hype, because to be perfectly clear, this is a match that is just way, way past when it should have happened, but it's happening. You know what? I'm not going to complain, because it's happening. We could have gotten nothing, okay? We could have gotten nothing. And Roman Reigns will be on Raw for the six-man tag team match. He's enforcing the wild card rule. He's utilizing the wild card rule, which he's been hogging the last, 4 weeks? So how does this wild card rule work? How does it work? Did they just first come, first serve? Well, first one in the arena? Is it musical chairs? Do they have to send a text to their general manager? What? I don't know. Stephanie McMahon is also threatening legal action, or action, I should just say. Maybe not legal, but some kind of action against Brock Lesnar for disrespecting the briefcase on Monday Night Raw. So that's an interesting deal there. I don't know where they're going. Clearly, something is starting at that point. And obviously, guys, if you have not listened to the Jon Moxley interview on Talk is Jericho and other podcasts that I won't mention, because there's another one floating out there that it's just not smart to get free advertising. So if you want another Jon Moxley interview, there's one more than the Talk is Jericho one. Do a quick search. You could probably find it. It's one of the top podcasts out there. So check that out. It's definitely worth a listen, as he gets into a ton of other stuff, including the disaster that was the Austin podcast when Dean Ambrose appeared on the Stone Cold podcast. That was a mess. On top of the fact that he and Brock Lesnar did not have the best match at WrestleMania a few years ago. He gets into that and what caused that. So lots of cool stuff there. So you guys probably know what show I'm talking about. No problem. I love that show too. I'll just say that show, right? Because free advertising is not smart. All right. Well, guys, thanks again for listening. I'll be back this Thursday with one of our official co-hosts of the WWE podcast. So that's going to be cool to get that going and running. And again, check out my website, WWEpodcast.com. You can, but it's outdated. Again, that is coming down the line very, very soon for a complete refresh. So keep your eye out for that. Until then, guys, thanks again. Follow me on Twitter at the WWE podcast and keep your DMs and tweets coming to me. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you next time. So you guys want to feel better about yourself today? Then check out 9GAG. 9GAG is a website that is really about one thing, and that's making people happier, making the world happier. They're a global cross-platform entertainment network with 150 million in audience around the world. They're ranked number one in entertainment and gaming on social media globally, and number one in cross-platform video creation in the United States. So, guys, check them out. It's really awesome. They have all of these different categories, from cars to comedy to football, Fortnite, gaming, GIFs, everything that you can think of, whether you are a man, a woman, something in between. It doesn't matter. This website will make you feel better about yourself. And of course, it is family friendly. It does not have any offensive or demeaning content. It is really one of the better websites that I've seen in quite a while that delivers on what they promise, and that is to make people happier. And that's exactly what this site does. There's also an app on the App Store for Apple or Google, so check them out there at 9gag. So go to the Apple iTunes Store, the App Store, or Google Play Store, and search 9gag. That's the number 9 and then gag, G-A-G. Or go to the website, 9gag.com. That's 9, the number 9, G-A-G.com. Trust me, within a minute of being there, you'll feel better about yourself, better about your day. It's a great way to disconnect from your work, and you will not regret it. So check out 9gag.com.